Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Trevor going to join us on Thursday this week, not on Tuesday, a scheduling conflict for Trev, so we look forward to talking to him on Thursday. But I've got in front of me the stats from Sunday's game. The Titans allowed 14 first downs for Cincinnati. 14, that's awful. Cincinnati was 22% on third down, 2 of 9 and 0 of 1 on fourth down. Cincinnati got 4.1 yards a play. Meanwhile, the Titans had 6.5. Cincinnati had 211 total net yards. Time of possession, Titans 34 minutes, Bengals 25. Great defensive performance. And yet, at the same time, I have a hard time looking at the Titans defense right now and saying, you guys are golden. Now, going into the season, I thought the Titans were going to have an elite defense. I watched them at training camp dominate the Titans offense almost every day. Then I went to Minnesota. And I said before the Minnesota trip, I said, look, this is going to be what tells us if this is for real or not. And they went to Minnesota, and for 2 days, they put it on the Vikings. Christian Fulton, who couldn't cover anybody last week against the Browns, had like a one-handed, two-foot interception in the end zone against the Vikings. So I walked out of Minnesota, and I was like, that defense is ready for New Orleans. That defense is good to go. First game, they give up 16 points. Yeah, they had some big plays that I didn't like, but for the most part, defense held. They got after the quarterback. They got what was a strip sack that should have been returned for a touchdown. Like, they looked the part of dominating defense. Then week two against the Chargers, you know, there was some give and some take, but they really didn't force a lot of turnovers. Week three against the Browns was an unmitigated disaster, and it had a lot of us questioning if this defense was going to be any good. And then last week, they went out there against Cincinnati, and they held them to 211 total yards of offense. But it's hard for me to look at the Bengals right now and what Joe Burrow is playing with, and it's hard for me to credit the defense and to say, yeah, that was a real dominant performance. I mean, I've seen smothering defenses before. I've seen the Titans with smothering defenses. I've seen the Titans get smothered by great defenses, like the early 2000s Ravens, the Browns last week. I mean, we've seen those defenses. And what those defenses do really well is not only is it like every handoff is a loss of two and the quarterback gets sacked or is in running for his life in almost every big moment of a game, but they also force turnovers. Like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense of the early 2000s with Warren Sapp and Simeon Rice and Derek Brooks and John Lynch and Rondé Barber and all those guys that are in the Hall of Fame. Those defenses suffocated you. Like when you went into a game, you knew you could not block those guys. You knew you could not block Warren Sapp or Simeon Rice. And I don't think the Titans have that. I mean, the Titans didn't even really force much. I mean, they had the one turnover on the fumble, but it wasn't like, you know, the Titans were picking off passes on Sunday and they weren't batting balls down at the line of scrimmage. And they really weren't even getting after Burrow that much, and he couldn't move at all. Cincinnati right now has the worst offense in the NFL. They are ranked 32nd in the league. They're 30th in first downs. They're 29th in passing. They're 31st in rushing. They're awful. So I don't want to discredit the Titan defense, but I also want to be realistic, which is I just kind of look at their performance Sunday and I think, well, you know what? You did your job. Move on to this week. And this week against the Colts, who do not have a good offense. Their offensive line is not very good. Their receivers are not inspiring. You know, they've got Mo Alie-Cox, the tight end that's been there for like the last 33 years. Mo Alie-Cox, he's like a fullback playing tight end. He catches the ball, and then he lowers his head like Larry Zonka, and he just starts trying to run through people. You know, they've got an okay running game with Zach Moss. There's some rumors that Jonathan Taylor could be back, but I don't worry about Jonathan Taylor. But I'm worried about Anthony Richardson against the Titans on Sunday. I'm worried about the Titans defense having those mental lapses like they've had. It's almost like they went out there and held the Bengals to 3 points, and I can't give them any credit for how they played because Joe Burrow was so hurt. And it's not like I don't want to give the defense credit. I do. I want the defense to be great, but I'm trying to be realistic here, and I'm trying for us to have fair expectations and a real sense of reality as to what's actually going on. And I have no idea if the defense was any good on Sunday. Like, if that was a dominant defensive performance, or Cincinnati's playing with 30% of its elite quarterback. You've got Ja'Marr Chase after the game complaining about how he was wide open all the time and they don't give him the ball. And I'm like, dude, your quarterback is on one leg right now. I don't know how you can expect him to do better, but apparently Chase does. So, while I thought Tannehill played great on Sunday, I thought Henry played great on Sunday, I thought the receivers played great on Sunday, I thought the play calling on offense was great on Sunday, I thought the kicker kicked great on Sunday, I thought the punter punted great on Sunday. With the defense that held the Bengals to 211 yards and 3 points, I just kind of shrugged my shoulders like, yeah, I mean, I guess. Do you have a good defense? Normally when you hold teams with Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks to 211 yards, you think they got a good defense. But I can't go there. I can't go there at all. Because Joe Burrow is so maligned right now that there's almost no way for me to be able to have a read on how the defense looked on Sunday. And I'm worried that the defense is not that good. Now, here's a little fun fact when it comes to the Titans defense that I was actually shocked by. So Tuesday morning is when everything becomes official as to where you stand in the NFL because all the games are over. And after 4 weeks of the NFL season, the Titans have the 12th ranked defense and they're 8th in points allowed. Now, again, what you are after 4 weeks is not going to be what you are after 17 weeks. I think we all know that. But at the same time, like 8th in points allowed, that's not bad. 12th in total defense when your offensive line is as bad as it's been. Like, that's not bad. And yet, I still am mad at the defense for the busted coverages that they allowed versus the Browns. I'm still mad at the defense for allowing Derek Carr to throw the ball right over their head in the opener with the Saints at the end of the game, or allowing Jamal Williams to run the ball right up the middle. Like, I'm still mad at the defense, even though going into the game on Sunday, not knowing how healthy or unhealthy Joe Burrow was, I felt like if you know you can get 211 yards out of them, you should give your defense credit. I have a hard time getting there. And I know some people will say it's unfair. But again, 12th in total defense last season, with all their injuries and everything else, the Titans didn't have a dominant defense, and they were 32nd in passing. And they've certainly, you know, helped themselves out in that regard, because right now their passing defense went from 28th to 23rd, which is better than 32nd what it was last year. And the defense as a whole is better than they were last year when they were 23rd in the NFL. So maybe I'm being too hard on them. Maybe I'm not being fair. But I almost give the defense no credit for what happened on Sunday. 615-737-1025. Add the defense to the list if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. Plus, I've got to give credit somewhere where I have been insanely critical for like the last 8 years on the Titans. And I'm almost worried to do it because I'm worried to jinx it. And I feel like that's what I might be doing, but we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025 and 1063 The Game.
How has Kinsey done in terms of punt returns? Averaging 12 and a half yards. Pretty good.
Yeah, you know, and that's a, you know, not only Mace, but that's a testament to those guys on that unit. You know, you got to take care of the gunners. Had a really nice play there, a big return. Had the good return, had the penalty. You know, really gave us some great field position there at the second quarter. So, you know, probably would want him to fair catch the one, you know, being smart there. You know, Chris Moore made a play as a gunner. You know, knocked the football out there. So, yeah, Mace has done a nice job.
Maybe sticking with him when Kyle comes back?
Well, we'll see. We'll see where Kyle's at. You know, 48 guys going to the game. You know, how many guys we can take.
There you go. That was Vrabel. And then the Titans released Mason Kinsey and designated Kyle Phillips to return, which I don't like for a bunch of different reasons. So I teased this segment by saying that, you know, something I've been very critical of has actually been pretty good lately. And immediately the text line, and our phones are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Literally consecutive texts. One guy, you're going to give Aukerman props. I can feel it coming. Ha ha. Another texter, don't praise Aukerman. Do not give him the kiss of death. Please let it rise. Another texter, Jared, do not do it. Do not give Craig Aukerman credit. Phillips is coming back, and we don't need the jinx. I know this is where you are going. So the text line has decided that they do not think that I should give the Titans special teams unit, which I have been very critical of over the years, credit for the fact that ever since the blocked punt at New Orleans, the Titans special teams has been solid for the most part. Now, Stonehouse was pissing me off with some of those punts, but he went out there last week, punted twice inside the 10 both times, including one out of bounds at the 9 and another punt that led to a fumble, and he got a game ball for that. The kicker that I didn't want them to sign because I didn't think he could kick long has hit from 50 and 53 and has not missed a kick yet and has been kicking touchbacks. And so as long as he keeps doing that, I'll keep being happy about it. The special teams has not been horrible. Kyaris Jackson had a nice little return that gave them an opportunity to win the Charger game. And Mason Kinsey had two good returns on Sunday and then had one stupid one where he was trying to play a little hero ball out there and he should have just fair caught it instead of catching it going forward and getting drilled, you know, for a gain of 3 yards or whatever it may be. But I have moaned and cried and complained and kvetched about the Titans special teams for years and years and years under Craig Aukerman, and I have called for Craig Aukerman to be fired for the last 6 years going. I have asked Mike Vrabel straight up why he won't fire Craig Aukerman. And as of right now, did you hear that, Ian?
Yep, you could hear it.
Knock on wood, the Titans special teams has actually been pretty decent. It's been pretty decent. So I know, text line, you don't want to jinx it because you're not used to the Titans being good on special teams either. But we got to call it how it is. That's the one thing, you know, this show, I always say about this show, we got to be fair. We got to be fair on this show. It's the one thing that I, you know, truly feel that no matter what you think of the show, what really matters to me is what I think of it. And so when I hear people say things like, Jared Stillman doesn't think the things he says, I don't get bothered because I know that everything that comes out of my mouth is what I believe. So you can believe whatever you want to, but I'm telling you what I think. And, you know, I believe in personal accountability, and I believe in hosting a radio show that is entertaining and is critical, but most importantly, is fair. And the special teams, since they got that punt blocked in New Orleans, they've been good. So we got to give them a little credit. Texter into the text line says, do you think the Titans drafted Kyle Phillips to be a return specialist or a wide receiver? I mean, I got to tell you this about Kyle Phillips. I don't give a rat's ass about Kyle Phillips. You know, every training camp, you know, the local media people get so excited about Kyle Phillips, and then he goes out there and immediately gets injured, and he hasn't done anything in the league, and you've got three receivers on your football team right now that are providing you with actual production. Like, they're actually giving you something. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has 2 touchdowns so far on the season. Chris Moore has caught 3 deep balls so far this year. DeAndre is playing like DeAndre. So I don't want to have to make room for Kyle Phillips because, well, you know, in training camp, Kyle Phillips was pretty good last year. And I think it's freaking stupid to cut Mason Kinsey as your punt returner when he's actually returning punts and catching punts and like he's actually doing a good job to go put Phillips back there, who we all have to pray is going to catch the ball on Sunday. So it drives me crazy. Texter says, it only took 6 years. Maybe the Titans will get a return for a touchdown in the next 6 years. You know what I always think about when it comes to Titans special teams? When are they going to block a kick? Like, when are they going to block a punt? When are they going to block a kick? When are they going to return a punt for a touchdown?
Those don't happen in the NFL like as much as they used to, though, in general.
They happen to you?
When?
You got a punt blocked week one.
Okay, fair point. But
no
returns.
You played the Colts a couple years ago. You got 2 punts blocked.
Well, one of those was, those were in crazy circumstances because the punter situation was all out of whack.
Well, but that was their own doing.
Yeah, well, that, like I said, that doesn't happen very often in the league.
Well, I'd like them to block a kick. It's been 4 years since they blocked
the Kansas City situation.
The Colts.
Oh, that's right. They had one in the Colts.
They went to Indianapolis, and Adam Vinatieri couldn't kick anymore, and they blocked it and returned it for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. See, also, a situation where, you know, the other kicker was more the problem than the actual unit of the block, just like the Titans situation.
I'd like to block a kick.
A punt return for a touchdown. Now, that I would like to see. The block I could get away with, but
when's
I'd like to see some
more
returns.
When's the last time the Titans returned a punt for a touchdown?
I don't know. Was it a Mark Mariani or Darius Raynaud?
I have no idea. When Darius Raynaud returned kicks for this team 10 years ago.
That's what I got. I don't even know. I can't remember anything on a punt return. That's what I mean. It needs to step it up a little bit. You used to be every week with Pac-Man back there.
Right now we're lauding the special teams because they're making 50-yard field goals. Like, teams in the NFL, they had a guy come out yesterday. He made it from, like, 56. Just like, yep, right down the pipe. I mean, that's, you know, a 53-yard kick is not the end of the world in the NFL. It is around here. But it's not something that is all that uncommon. So, I mean, again, they haven't ruined anything since the Saints game when they got that punt blocked. So I have to give them a little credit. Michael from Missouri says, Jared, I think you're short selling the defense. I see your point that Burrow is clearly not right, but this team, both historically and under Vrabel, has made a habit of losing games to bad or hurt quarterbacks. When did they lose to a hurt quarterback? I'm trying to think.
Mahomes was a little dinged, but they won that game, right?
He had the knee injury, and he had come back, and they blocked a kick and ended up winning the game. He said, I'm not ready to call the defense elite. They're definitely better than bad, so I think they get some credit for how they played Sunday. I don't know, dude. Like, there's a part of me that thinks you could have put Vandy's defense out there, which is terrible. That you could have put Vandy's defense out there, and with Joe Burrow playing the way he's playing, they would have not been able to move the football.
Yeah, Wentz was hurt with his double sprained ankles, and they destroyed him that game.
Oh, and even then, the Titans actually played horribly on offense that game. I remember they won the game, and I complained about it, and I said, you know, they play that way against the Jets, they'll lose, and then I picked the Jets to win, and everybody, again, thought I was doing it just for show, and then they lost to the Jets. Because Zach Wilson went off. Texter says Phillips is the new Racy McMath. The local media has loved Phillips way more than they ever loved McMath. Like, the local media thinks Kyle Phillips is a good wide receiver in the NFL, which I don't believe. I would not put Kyle Phillips on the field Sunday in terms of wide receiver unless I had to. Oh, my goodness. One texter says Burrow was hurt and put hurt in quotations on Sunday. Joe Burrow is very clearly hurt. Like, if you watch the Bengals play and you think that Joe Burrow isn't hurt, or you think that, I mean, I think he's 30% healthy right now. 30% of Joe Burrow.
Probably more than that this week. Maybe the week before. I would have put him closer to 50% this week.
No, he's 30%. He can't drive off that calf. He can't run at all. He can't step. He can't stand in. Like, he can't move around to let a guy get open down the field. I mean, it has ruined everything that they do.
I thought they should have run the ball more. They were running the ball early on pretty well with Joe Mixon, and then they stopped completely.
Oh, they were running it for like 7 yards a crack on first down. Oh, no. One texter says, I thought Joe Burrow was elite. Ha ha. Dude. Joe Burrow is that dude. And if you can't look at Joe Burrow right now, the only reason Joe Burrow is playing is because Joe Burrow is never going to not play. You know, I told Caroline this last year when the Titans benched Tannehill, or they took him out in place of Malik Willis in a blowout at Buffalo. And everybody was like, oh, there's, you know, Tannehill shouldn't be upset about this. And Tannehill's not, he understands and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Vrabel was on the sidelines with Todd Downing, Tannehill, and Logan Woodside and had his arms around them telling him like, hey, it's okay. We're not benching you. Like, you're only coming out because we don't want to get you hurt. Like, he's not having that conversation with Derrick Henry. He's having the conversation with Tannehill because the quarterback does not go out of the game. Like, even when they're getting beat and they're getting their teeth kicked in, those quarterbacks do not come out. It's like an embarrassment that I played so poorly that I have to come out. And I saw on Sunday after the Titans, hold on, I wrote it down in the notes of when it happened, that the Titans, I want to say they punted, or maybe it was the Tannehill interception, and all of a sudden, yeah. So Tannehill throws the interception intended for Colton Dowell, and Jake Browning puts his helmet on and starts to run out. And Joe basically decides, no, 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 I'm going back out there. And then after the game, Burrow was asked about it. And Burrow said that he was asked, you know, is it a point of pride to finish the game? And he said yes. Like, those guys don't come out of the game. It's like, hey, we're going to take you out of the game. Screw you, coach. Woo. The text line is going crazy about all these people that are bad-mouthing Joe Burrow. Texter says, calling it now, Zach Taylor will be fired after the season. He has mismanaged the Burrow injury so bad, plus he's a bad head coach that lucked out being bad enough for the right year to get Joe Burrow. I agree on most of those fronts. I don't think he mismanaged the Burrow injury.
I mean, he sat out the whole preseason.
I believe that Joe Burrow is the one who calls the shots on when Joe Burrow plays. First of all, I think Joe's the entire organization. And I was actually thinking about this yesterday, about how all these other teams, like the Kansas City Chiefs were good before Mahomes got there. They weren't great, but they were good. And Andy Reid was good before Mahomes got there. The Patriots, when Brady got hurt, they still won like 11 games that year with Matt Castle as the quarterback. But it's the teams that literally have nothing except for the quarterback that go right down the toilet the second the quarterback's hurt, like the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning. They were in the Super Bowl. Peyton gets hurt. They're the worst team in the league. And that's how I feel about the Bengals. Joe is that entire organization. They pay Joe more money than they'll pay anybody else maybe ever. And one texter says, take away his weapons going back to college and you'll see an average Joe Burrow. I mean, he had his weapons on Sunday. Joe Burrow's just hurt. But again, you talk about Zach Taylor mismanaging it. I mean, if the doctors tell Joe Burrow he can play, Joe Burrow's going to play. And that has nothing to do with the coach. What, is the coach going to say, hey, Joe, I really need you to play this game? Can you imagine being the head coach walking into Mike Brown's office? He just wrote Joe Burrow a $260 million check. And you walk into his office and you say, hey, Jake Browning's going to start at quarterback today. And the owner says, wait a minute, didn't I just pay Joe Burrow $260 million? Yeah. And didn't the doctors clear Joe Burrow to play? Yeah. And doesn't Joe want to play? Yeah. So why is Jake Browning playing at quarterback? One texter says Zach Taylor should have been smart and pulled him to protect him after it was evident the Titans were going to win. Again, they wanted to put Browning in the game, but Joe didn't want to come out. And what are you going to do, get in a fight on the sideline with your quarterback? You guys talk about what Zach Taylor should do or shouldn't do or get fired or whatever it may be. What do you think, Zach? You think Zach Taylor has the chutzpah to get into it with Joe Burrow on the sidelines? You think that's a good idea? And the answer is, of course not. And I think Burrow is about 30%. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to weigh in, that's 615-737-1025. Trevor normally joins us. Trevor not going to join us today. He'll join us Thursday. Trevor, though, is usually presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters, in Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Coming up next, I do have one giant college football thought, and a lot of people around here aren't going to want to hear it. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Thorne throws late, intercepted by Georgia. Going the other way as Malachi starts, and that should do it.
Yeah, a lot of credit goes to Auburn and their atmosphere. I told the television stations afterwards, incredible atmosphere every time we come here to play. They got one of the most loyal fan bases there is. They got a lot of respect for Hugh and the job he's done, and a great atmosphere to play in. Obviously, we didn't play our best game today, but we're a very resilient team, proud of the way we competed. And we got to continue to get better. I mean, that's the most important thing for our team. So a lot of things we did wrong, a lot of things we did well. But we're not going to get where we want to go if we don't get better. So that's the biggest thing.
Hey, guys, Kirby. After Georgia barely hung on to beat a terrible Auburn team on Saturday. And this may not be very popular in the South, but sometimes we got to tell it like it is, even if it's not popular. The SEC sucks this year. Like, it stinks. And that includes Georgia and Alabama as to what we expect. Now, Floyd told me, and I would have to, you know, listen to him on this because I'm sure he probably visited every college campus in the country as a former general manager. He said Auburn's toughest place to play in the country. So maybe that had something to do with it. But Georgia played an uninspiring first half against South Carolina, who sucks, and then played a good second half. Other than that, all they played is Scarbini State, and then they went down to the wire with a terrible Auburn team that can't pass. So I'm not sold on Georgia. Alabama stinks by Alabama standards. I mean, they've already lost a game. Look at the roster. They don't have the Julio Joneses. They don't have the Amari Coopers. They don't have the Jerry Judys. They don't have the Derrick Henrys. They got this Jalen Milroe at quarterback who's not very good. And if Saban could replace him, he would. They're dogfighting it out with South Florida. Alabama's not very good. Then you got Ole Miss. Ole Miss got smoked by Jalen Milroe. LSU can't play any defense. LSU last year got hot at the end of the season, and everybody said, hey, Brian Kelly's the man. Here comes LSU. They've got a Heisman candidate at quarterback, and they've played two big games so far this year, and they haven't played any defense in the two games. They gave up 55 points on Saturday. I mean, they're lucky Arkansas didn't beat them the week before at home. Nobody goes to LSU at night and gives them a fight, unless it's Alabama or somebody really, really good. And this is a average Arkansas team that just got their hat handed to them by Texas A&M, who got smoked by Miami. And you look outside of the conference, And the SEC has been terrible too. Florida's awful. I mean, Kentucky just ran them out of there. Ray Davis just, I mean, they turn around, hand the ball to Ray Davis, and he ran up the middle like he was Barry Sanders on every handoff on Saturday. So Florida's awful, and Tennessee got crushed by that horrible Florida team. And so the only team in the SEC that I have not made up my mind on, because A&M's average, Alabama's average, Georgia is above average but not great, Florida's awful, Tennessee's average, South Carolina's bad, Vandy's horrendous, LSU can't play defense. The only SEC team that I have not made up my mind on so far, and we're about halfway through the season, is Kentucky. That's the one team that, like, Kentucky might actually be kind of good. That being said, they've played Vandy and they've played Florida. So it's not exactly like they played Texas like Alabama did. Now, we'll see this week because Kentucky is going to Georgia, and I think that Kentucky has got a shot to beat them because I'm not a believer in Georgia. And if this game were in Lexington, I think I'd be picking the Cats. For some reason, I just don't think Kentucky can throw the ball well enough. But Kentucky is the only team that in the SEC that I don't think I've got figured out yet, and everybody else is below the standards that we expect of this conference. Every single one of them. I mean, it's it. What happened to the SEC? And then that leads me to, in the name, image, and likeness and transfer portal era of college football, how is the SEC falling behind? The ACC is unequivocally a better conference than the SEC right now. Florida State is better than every team in the SEC except for maybe Georgia. And you know I'm not, I mean, if that Georgia team that played at Auburn Saturday were to play Florida State, Florida State's going to win that game. But top to bottom, North Carolina smoked South Carolina. Duke, now their quarterback's hurt, but Duke, pretty decent this year. We're 5-0 at Louisville with a quarterback that can't throw. We've got Notre Dame this week. I will, hopefully you'll say a nice little prayer for us this weekend. But this is not, I mean, I'm watching all the games, and this is not SEC football. And so I understand how Clemson fell off, because Clemson had a coach that was way too stubborn to embrace what college football has become. I think the SEC has embraced it with open arms for the most part, right? A&M's buying a football team. Saban's yelling at his boosters to donate more money to the NIL collective. Tennessee's got an $8 million quarterback. So I don't understand how the SEC has gotten so bad. But this is a down year for that conference. And I do not think that the best team in the country, and I know Georgia is ranked number one right now in the country, but I do not think the best team in the country resides in the SEC. I mean, if I had a vote, and I don't, I'd be thinking about Oregon, Texas, Michigan. I mean, I think the Pac-12 in its last year of existence might be better than the SEC this year. And you know what the main reason for that is, right? Look at the quarterbacks. The Pac-12 has Michael Penix, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Shedeur Sanders. The ACC has Riley Leonard, Drake May, Jordan Travis. I mean, they've got some quarterbacks now in the ACC and in the Pac-12, and they don't have any quarterbacks in the SEC. The SEC is just atrocious. Just atrocious. I mean, this is not what I'm used to seeing from the SEC. Texter says, what do you think about Missouri, Jared? I have no thoughts on Missouri. I think they suck. I think their coach is a stooge. 615-737-1025. We'll get your phones in on that. 615-737-1025. Plus, Dion calls out the haters. Are there actual haters, though? We'll touch on that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
We understand what's coming. If you can't see what's coming with CU football, you've lost your mind. You're just a flat-out hater if you can't see what's going on and what's going to transpire over the next several months. Something's wrong with you. Yes, sir.
Dion, after the game on Saturday, I got to say, I turned the game off because I thought, you know, Colorado was going to get handedly beaten. And then everybody on Twitter started talking about Colorado was making a comeback, so I turned it back on, and I was a little surprised. I do think there's a moral victory to only lose by a touchdown for Colorado against USC when USC has much better players. But then I hear Dion after the game, if you don't see where we're going, you're a hater. I'm sorry, who is hating? Who does not see that Deion Sanders took Colorado football from the absolute graveyard and made them a must-watch college football program? I mean, I don't think I've seen four Colorado games in my life, and I've seen these. I mean, I didn't expect Colorado to beat USC. Colorado shouldn't have beaten USC. But that doesn't take away from the job that Deion's doing. Deion's doing a great job. And so I think I kind of get a little angry when I hear this, like, holier than thou of the, you know, and this is for all our haters. Who is hating Deion? Every pregame show is begging you to do their show from your campus. Every sports show in America is having Deion on. Even the non-sport shows. He was on 60 Minutes. Who doesn't believe that Colorado's going to be good? That being said, I do think the hype train for Coach Prime's probably headed into the station. And I'm not saying that people won't watch Colorado, because they will. And, I mean, Colorado plays Arizona State this week, and I think they probably should win. And, you know, Colorado will go to a bowl and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to, like, the season of Deion, I do think that that's kind of over. Like, Deion mania, I think, is kind of over. Because, you know, Colorado will be a 7-win football team. And when they play Arizona State, it's not that exciting. By the way, did you see this, Ian, about the Gus Johnson play-by-play calls from Saturday on the Colorado-USC game?
I don't think so.
So they took, like, his calls, and, you know, Gus
Everybody
goes
loves
crazy.
Gus. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes nuts. And, like, USC scored a touchdown. It literally sounded, and I love Gus, but it sounded like a hometown broadcast. Like, USC
scored
a touchdown.
Cheering almost, huh?
Well, you know how, like, when you listen to a hometown broadcast, it'll be like, you know, and this is just me doing a hometown football broadcast, but let's say the other team is going to score. Second down and 5 from the 8-yard line. Two receivers to the left. He's got one to the right. He motions Johnson into the left side. Smith, standing at his own 9-yard line, takes a snap. Play action pass. He's looking to roll right. Goes to the end zone, and it is wide open, and it is a touchdown for Jeremy Johnson.
Yeah, kind of low key.
Yeah, like low key, you know, and that's a touchdown for Jeremy Johnson. You know, a hometown broadcast is, he's got two receivers to the left, one to the right. He's standing at his own 9-yard line, takes a shotgun snap. He rolls to his right. He's got Johnson, and it's a touchdown!
Okay, I got the parallels there, yes.
So when Gus was calling the game, when USC scored a touchdown, Gus was like, and USC gets off to a start early with a touchdown. Then when Shedeur Sanders scored, you know, they scored a touchdown at some point, he's sitting there, oh my God, Shedeur Sanders, he did it, oh my God, you know.
So people think Gus is in the satchel for Colorado, huh?
I mean, Gus is absolutely in the satchel for Colorado. Well, that being said, how can you not be?
I think this particular week might have just been a, you know, everyone was expecting USC to kind of blow him out. It was a big spread, and he's trying to, you know, get hype and excitement in the game and keep people involved and keep the ratings up. Colorado's coming back. They're an underdog. Look at this.
I think Gus is in the satchel.
Come on, give him some credit.
No. I think Gus got sucked in by Dion Mania. And I mean, Joel Klatt's doing the game with him. Joel sounded more neutral than he did, and Joel played quarterback at Colorado. I mean, this is crazy. One texter into the text line, or our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, asked the question, Jared, do you take the SEC or the field for the national championship this year? Ian, I'm going to pose that question to you. SEC or the field for the national championship?
Good question. I'm going to go the field.
Field. Think about this, okay? If I take, we all know that like Florida, you know, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M, we all know they're already out. Like they're not. And Tennessee, South Carolina, Florida, Vandy, Missouri, like they're all out, right? So right now it's Georgia, Alabama maybe, not likely, and Kentucky that could possibly make it to the playoff. Now, I don't think Kentucky or Alabama will make it, but let's just
Texas doesn't that. Count yet.
Texas is not in the SEC. So, if I got the field, I get Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Shedeur Sanders, Michael Penix at Washington. I also get Quinn Ewers at Texas.
And you get Michigan, Ohio State.
What's that?
And you get Michigan and Ohio State.
I get Michigan, Ohio State.
Florida State, yep.
And I get Florida State. I mean, it's a crazy talk. I mean, that Georgia quarterback, he sucks. Like, I mean, this is, to me, that's easy. That's one of the easiest questions somebody's ever had. The SEC. Ian. Dun, 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 dun. The SEC will not win the national championship. In 2023, I guarantee it. So add that to the list. The SEC will not win the national championship. Ian, how are we doing on our guarantees?
Well, the last one you got correct. Jared guarantees the Titans will cut kicker Michael Badgley.
Thank you.
Jared guarantees Hopkins will not sign with the Bills or the Chiefs.
Thank you.
We have an open-ended one here. Jared says Lamar Jackson will never get to an AFC championship game.
That's going to be a while.
Jared guarantees that Hendon Hooker will go in the first round of the draft.
Mm.
That one was incorrect. And then we're going back a little bit until to the spring. So a little bit light on the guarantees lately, but pretty good.
Don't I get credit for the, I think, one of the first ever guarantees on this program that I feel like I can officially cash the betting slip that Corey Davis was never going to make the Pro Bowl as a Jet?
I believe that is a guarantee on here somewhere. Yes, that is correct. I have actually already written down correct, I guess, because he retired. So it does. Jared guarantees Corey Davis will not make a Pro Bowl with the Jets. That was said on Tuesday, June 15th, 2021.
Correct. Cash that ticket, baby. So I guarantee that the SEC will not win the national championship this year. And I feel comfortable with my guarantee. I mean, the only team that can win the championship out of the SEC is Georgia. And I just don't think that Georgia has the firepower to be able to beat some of these other, you know, teams with great quarterbacks. I mean, I got to tell you, I think, like, and maybe this is a homer thing, like, I think Oregon might win the national championship this year. And if they do, whew, I will be very, very excited. Mark in Ashland City says, I just put my mortgage on Georgia for the title. Thank you, Jared. I mean, you just heard the guarantees. I've been cranking them out left and right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You know what? I'm in a good mood. Let's give away a pair of tickets to see the Predators home opener on October 12th against the Seattle Kraken at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you will win those tickets to see the Predators take on the Kraken at Bridgestone Arena for the home opener. Meanwhile, is the heat off of Mike Vrabel now? We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.